Imagine discovering that your dream home conceals 7 child-sized suitcases in the attic, each containing mummified remains. This nightmare becomes reality for Mia and Finn Hunter after purchasing a dilapidated Victorian house in quiet Stooksbury Village. The property, hidden behind overgrown vegetation and surrounded by local whispers, seemed like their perfect escape from living with Finn's overbearing parents, Debbie and Dave. Despite sinking their life savings into this fixer-upper without a proper survey, they were determined to create their country dream home. Reality hits hard on their first visit as owners. Metal-sheeted windows, broken glass, massive wisteria vines strangling the facade, damaged chimneys, and rotting woodwork make the exterior look abandoned. Inside reveals dated wood paneling, ancient fixtures, and dangerously weak floorboards. Most unsettling, a bedroom ceiling hook with rope still attached. Though they dismiss it as children playing pranks, a sense of unease lingers. The renovation quickly becomes all-consuming, straining their finances and relationship. Finn's father, Dave, helps with construction despite his own recently failed building business. Meanwhile, Debbie, who previously antagonized Mia, suddenly shows unusual interest in their renovation decisions. 11 weeks in, Mia discovers she's pregnant, conceived naturally after failed IVF attempts. Despite the timing complicating their already stressful situation, they embrace this unexpected joy. Everything changes when Mia discovers a wall in the attic that doesn't reach the roof. Behind it, Finn finds a hidden room containing 7 dust-covered suitcases in a V formation, each marked with a red P and fronted by shrink-wrapped children's clothes. The first case reveals a mummified child. The shock sends pregnant Mia falling through the hatch, resulting in an emergency cesarean that delivers their premature son, Sonny, weighing just 3 pounds. Their home becomes Britain's most notorious crime scene, as Detective Superintendent Okafor confirms 7 children's remains from the late 1970s and early 1980s. Media dubs it the Babes in the Attic case. The horror deepens when 2 headless adult bodies are found in the garden, Kenneth and Moira Kilgore, the previous owners who vanished decades ago. For Mia, the discovery becomes an obsession. At victim Abigail Douglas's funeral, she makes a startling connection. Her father-in-law, Dave, appears in an old-school photo with 2 victims. When confronted, Dave claims minimal acquaintance but seems nervous. The family splinters. Mia battles postnatal depression, Finn seeks comfort from his ex, Emma, and Dave hides his presumed terminal cancer with alcohol. Flashback chapters reveal a methodical killer who saves vulnerable children by murdering them and preserving their bodies in suitcases, a twisted mission born from their own traumatic childhood. The narrative gradually exposes Dave and Debbie Hunter's dark, intertwined histories. Dave, with his distinctive port wine birthmark, fell under Debbie's influence after accidentally hitting a girl named Precious Johnson with his car, a girl who had just escaped from Debbie's parents' home. The investigation takes a dramatic turn when Mia discovers evidence linking Dave to the murders. In his garage, she finds paperwork for a storage facility and a portmanteau suitcase identical to those in their attic. Following this lead, she discovers a warehouse containing over 100 similar suitcases, 40 containing vacuum-packed children's clothes and human remains. When Dave confronts her there, he appears ready to confess. After tying Mia up, but then cutting her free, he slits his own throat in front of her, seemingly confirming his guilt. The media portrays Dave Hunter as Britain's most prolific child killer, but inconsistencies emerge. Detective Mark Goodwin points out that Dave never specifically admitted guilt and questions why he would meticulously clean the bodies but not the warehouse. 5 months after Dave's suicide, the family is shattered. Finn lives with his ex Emma and their daughter, while Mia shares custody of Sonny with her parents. Debbie remains isolated, condemned as a child killer's wife. When Mia visits Debbie, she's shocked by a cruel offer: money to leave town, abandon her marriage, and most disturbingly, leave Sunny behind, revealing just the beginning of Debbie's true nature. Flashbacks reveal Debbie is actually the daughter of Samuel and Alice Lewis, the house's previous occupants. Her parents abducted children, drugging them before taking them to that room, forcing Debbie and her brother George to help lure victims. After George disappeared, reportedly killed for threatening to expose them, Debbie eventually escaped to her grandparents. Years later, she manipulated Dave into marriage. When they couldn't conceive, Dave appeared with a stolen baby, Finn, actually William Brown, a kidnapped child whose sister was among the victims. The horrifying truth? Debbie, not Dave, was the serial killer, continuing her parents' legacy with Dave reluctantly disposing of bodies. When DNA evidence proves neither of Finn's biological parents, the family completely unravels. The story climaxes when Debbie, rejected by Finn after he discovers his origins, abducts Sunny while babysitting. She arranges for her brother George, who wasn't killed but sent away, to take the boy to his isolated Norwegian island. At Dave's burial site, Debbie confronts the parents with an empty stroller and Sonny's shrink-wrapped clothes. Enraged, Finn attacks his adoptive mother, strangling her until police intervene. For 2 years, Sunny remains missing while Debbie, institutionalized after an insanity plea, manipulates Finn. She trades monthly photographs of Sunny for regular visits, promising his return only after her death. Meanwhile, Sunny lives as Andreas on George's Norwegian island, believing George is his father. The boy flourishes in this peaceful setting, attending mainland nursery and growing happy. George believes he's broken his family's cycle of abuse through love. Eventually, Finn locates them through clues in the photographs. In an unspecified confrontation, George disappears, presumably killed, and Sunny is recovered. Though physically healthy, the confused boy asks for his papa and struggles to recognize his biological parents. The epilogue delivers the most chilling revelation. While Finn and Mia rebuild their lives with 4-year-old Sunny, a darker truth lurks. In a storage facility, Finn keeps 3 large suitcases containing his victims, the original baby Finn, journalist Aaliyah Anderson, and Mia's friend Lorna. More disturbing are the empty shelves installed for 12 future victims, with Detective Goodwin featuring prominently in these plans. Most horrifying are Finn's interactions with Sunny during secret visits to the unit. With twisted pride, he shows his young son 4 preserved human skulls, explaining they belong to bad people who needed to be stopped, mirroring Finn's own childhood experiences with Debbie. Though Finn tells himself he'll wait until Sunny is older and ready before involving him in actual killings, he's already grooming the boy, just as Debbie groomed him. The cycle of generational violence continues unbroken. Despite the house's demolition, the evil has simply relocated. The final scene shows Finn teaching Sunny to organize the unit just like Grandma Debbie would want, suggesting this dark inheritance will continue into a 3rd generation. The true horror isn't in the house, but in the darkness flowing through the family's bloodline, a legacy of violence that justice fails to interrupt and normalcy conceals.